Blog Talk Radio.
Detour, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Detour is a ministry created as a safe house for men and women to come together without judgment to share their detour in life. Have you ever framed your world only to find out life, roadblocks, settling, being stuck, and suddenly a detour appears? What does your detour look like? This ministry is designed for us as kingdom ambassadors to come together in unity, on one accord, to live on purpose through the gospel of Jesus Christ. With God, know that everything has a purpose. Yes. Even the detours. For more information on the Detour radio station, please contact us at whatisyourdetour@gmail.com, or you may contact Rosalind Farrell at 972-249-8544.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rosalind Farrell, and I will be your host on tonight's radio show. Before we get started, I just want to make sure that I have Gabe and also Pastor Ware on the line.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
All right, thank you. So before we get started, just a few house rules. If you would mute your line beside Gabe and also Pastor Ware, I would greatly appreciate it. I would love to give Gabe as much time as he needed without any interruptions from the background noise. So if everyone could please mute their lines, you will have the opportunity to make comments and ask questions throughout the questions. But before we get started, I would like for Pastor Ware to lead us in prayer. After that, I will introduce Gabe, and then we'll go ahead and get started.
Amen. Thank you. Sister Rosalind, as we pray, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see a day that we have never saw before. We thank you, God, for the grace and for the mercy that you've extended to us on this day. We thank you, God, for coming together on this platform, Detour, God. We thank you for those who are on here and those who will go back and listen to it later. We pray, God, that you would get the glory out of everything that is said and everything that's done on tonight. We pray, God, that there would not be any interruptions, that there would be no interference. God, that there would be nothing to hinder what it is that you are going to do on this platform tonight. We pray, God, that you will continue to touch Sister Rosalind, God. Thank you, God, for giving her this ministry and giving her the grace and the courage, God, to continue to do this in such a mighty way. We pray for the one who's going to present tonight, Brother Gabriel. We pray, God, that you would give him tonight, God, what it is that you would have us to hear. God, empower us through what we're going to hear on tonight. And, God, we thank you for all things, for your word says, in all things give thanks, for this is your will concerning us. So we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for what you are doing. And, God, we thank you, and we do praise you in advance for everything that you are getting ready to do. We pray this prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric. Greatly appreciate it. Amen. All right, Gabe, I've been so excited all day today, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce you, and we'll go ahead and get started. So Gabe Jackson is from Edwardsville, Illinois. He earned a bachelor's degree in integrated communications at Liberty University and will complete his master's in strategic communications in 2023. From here, he will go into account management, but have always had flexibility to the Lord's will. He was saved at the early age of 16, and I have had the pleasure of watching this young man and his growth, and he is just on fire for God, and I'm just so excited. So, Gabe, thank you once again for your yes. I'm excited on what thus says the Lord that you have to tell us with this topic on extending your entire heart to God. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started. So, Gabe, with this topic of giving God your entire heart, and your from your perspective, what does that look like and what does that mean?
So first, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for having me on your platform again. I really, really appreciate it, man. This is not, I don't take this lightly at all. I think this is it's an honor that you would extend it to me because I understand how serious you got to take your platform. So I really appreciate you opening up to me and welcoming me in a second time.
You are welcome.
So as it relates to just a little bit about me, just so people kind of understand why I'm so passionate about giving your entire life to God. And so I'm obviously, like you just mentioned, I was raised in Edwardsville, Illinois, in a house of with six kids, two of my uncles and then my mother. So there was nine of us all together in a very old house. Didn't have much, but, you know, who did growing up? We grew up in a broken and dysfunctional home. And I don't want to – this is not a sob story, but I just want to kind of give a background to where I came from. Father wasn't necessarily in the picture. And my mom had some issues that prevented her from raising us as she was should have been able to. And as a result, our house was kind of like a – do what thou wilt type of household. We kind of ran, came and went as we pleased, and there wasn't a whole lot of structure to our household. So we got into a lot of things growing up and a lot of things and had their way with us, if you will, and steered us in the wrong path. Me specifically, I was taken from my mom when I was 13 and moved with my aunt when I was 13 years old. Obviously, she raised me from 13 to 18. Within that stint is when I gave my life to Christ. I used to hate going to church. She used to drag me to church. I was in middle school, I think. She used to drag me to World Changing. And I love the people. Now, don't get me wrong, but it just was the fact that I'm a teenager on a Saturday night and I can't go out because I got to be at church in the morning. Like, who does that? You know, who says those kind of things so young? And so I had a big issue with that, man. But God really, there was a time where we found our long-lost sibling in Atlanta, Georgia. We found them on Facebook, and there happened to be five of them on my dad's side that we hadn't met and hadn't heard a whole lot about. And so I'm actually the youngest of 11. So it was during that weekend there happened to be a conference in Atlanta, which was the church that is over World Changing was having a conference in Atlanta. So we went down there, myself, one of my brothers and one of my sisters went down there and we met them both. And that weekend is where I gave my life to Christ. And I was 16 years old, and I can just remember, I knew that God existed. You know, I went up to the altar during that whole time where I was being drugged in church. You know, I was at the altar. I had my crying sessions, my boo-hoo, God, I'm sorry. But then I'd be doing the same thing back on Wednesday or Thursday that same week. It'd be like I forgot it even happened. But this time was something different. You know, I can remember it was on a Sunday. It was on October 4th, 2014. They called me up to the, well, they called us to the front, myself, my sister, my brother, and then his girlfriend at the time, called us all down to the front, and they prayed for us, and I was on the ground, and I remember crying out to God and telling him that I'm ready. Didn't know what that meant at the time. I just knew that I was ready. And but that what made me tell God that I was ready, that weekend felt so, the first time in my life God was looking at me. Like he wasn't a far away idea out there. He was looking at us that whole weekend. God was there and he cared about us personally. He was walking with us. That really changed my heart. That, you know, really tugged on my heartstrings. And then you're talking to a kid who's struggled with rejection and insecurity, man. I think I don't play with depression because I don't, I know it's a very serious disease. So I was never, or a serious mental illness. So I was never diagnosed with depression, but as much as I can remember, man, I was as close as you can get without being diagnosed with it as depressed as a young teen because I didn't have my mom, I didn't have my dad. I was confused, and I didn't have as much male guidance as I needed at that time. You know, again, my father wasn't always in the picture. And so, but God, in those couple of days and in a moment, you know, he was all of those things, a God who was lonely and struggled with all of these things. God was all of those things in a moment for me, and it completely changed my life. And so that's why I walk with God so strongly, because I felt so desolate, and I felt like a wanderer in my heart. Not like as I was homeless, because I live with my aunt, my aunt, and thank God for her, because she was a mother figure that I needed at the time. But my mom wasn't able to be the mother that I know she wanted to be. My aunt stepped up to the plate willingly and raised me like her own son, so thank God for her. But it was just some places that she just couldn't help me in, and I think that was by design by God. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit, because I want to get to my perspective on what it means to give my life to Christ, or to give your whole entire heart to God. But in that whole moment, you know, he took me from a lonely kid to an adopted young man. He took me from a wanderer, and he gave me a home in my heart. That's where I done lived in four or five different cities since I was 18. And it doesn't matter where I go, I have a home, because it's not the place that I'm at. It's the place in my heart that God gave me. He called me his. And it doesn't matter where I'm at in the world, I'll always be home with my Father. And so because he saved my life in that way, first and foremost, before I get to my perspective on it, I want to make sure that my perspective lines up with Scripture. I love that. One thing I admire about Jesus is that he was able to separate the light from the darkness. And I know in today's world, there's a whole lot of attempting to gray. We try to gray the lines and blur the lines a little bit. But Jesus was so adamant about keeping them separated. He saw sin for what it was, so he was able to address it as what it was. But anyway, in John 14:21, he lays it flat out what a Christian is, what a believer is. He goes, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So my perspective, a mark that you have given your life to Christ truly, is when you do the commandments of God, when you are not just a hearer of the word, go to church on Sundays, but you're a doer of the word. You know, that's when you've committed to the Lord. And I like the fact that we're talking about giving your entire heart to God, because some people will, even believers, will give God the space that they think he wants, or they think that he deserves, or they'll put him in a place just far enough away that the religious aspect adds a nice cherry on top to their perfect image. Almost like, I don't know if you guys ever seen Shrek, but Shrek likens himself to an onion. Onions have layers. Ogres have layers. You know what I mean? And so if you talk about a person having layers, God is like on the uttermost layer, way out there. He's a part of us, but just way out there where, you know, he's just a good show, but not necessarily on the inside. And as you get into the layers, the inner layers, to what they really, really care about, God's nowhere to be found. And so I think when giving your entire life to God, your entire heart to God, and one, to do his commandments, there's no way around that. And then two is when you trust the Lord as your ultimate source in your life. The world is so, and there's so much going on. The world offers such a robust program of alternate salvation that ultimately are vapor, ultimately are wind. But we sometimes believe in them. Even believers, strong believers, can be fools sometimes, and we got to repent and we got to come back. But when you trust that nothing else can give you the peace, nothing else can give you the joy, nothing else can give you the love or the home that our Father can give you, or the salvation that our Father can give you, that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't pay for. When you live your life and know that all of those things come from our Father, and the only way to get to them from our Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only door. And there is no other. And so when I am in my ruts, and when I'm in having my bad days, and I'm having my bad weeks, I still have an understanding that there's no way around it. There's no other place that my joy will come from except for God. So I got to go there first to get better. When I'm confused or when I'm any other state other than normal gay, I understand that I can't listen to a podcast. I can't read a self-help book. Not that those things are innately bad, because they're not by any means. But I know that to get out of this place of confusion, to get out of this place of depression, to get out of this rut of anxiety, I can't go to any other place except God, because he's my ultimate source. So from my perspective, giving your entire life to God is to trust him as the ultimate source of all joys in life.
Amen, Gabe. I mean, I just listened to even as you shared your journey. So thank you for sharing that, just your humility. And when you talked about when you visited the church in Atlanta, you went gave your life to Christ, not really even understanding, but just your humility, how you just surrendered. And not that you truly understood at the time what was happening. And Jen, just walking through your journey to now, like I've watched you grow from when we were at World Changer, World of Faith, up into now. And just the growth is just, you just wow me. And I know it's nobody but God, the grace of God that's on your life. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
All right. My next question will be, has there ever been any challenging moments for you? If so, if you would care to share those with us, please do at this time.
Challenging moments. Plenty. Where do I start? Oh, man. So I like to, honestly, I'm in a pretty challenging season right now. I think it's pretty time appropriate that you would invite me back on during this season of my life. I've always been the youngest of all my siblings, of all my cousins. I've always been around the older people, and I've always been kind of the youngest in the circles and the families that I've been involved in. And now, you know, I'll be 25 next month, and I'm not old yet, by no means, but I do think I'm transitioning out of that young kid phase and that young, you know, that young adult phase and into a different phase. And we know when you're young, it comes with a whole lot of arrogance. You know, it's accompanied with a whole lot of arrogance. It's like, you know, I remember when I first got saved, I was so passionate in prayer, I could have swore I invented prayer. I thought I was the first person to pray for unity in the church. I thought I was the first one to pray like how I was praying. I really did. I was so passionate about prayer, and I was so passionate about God. I thought that I was the first one to have that kind of passion about him. And, man, so, you know, when I'm that young, it's like I thought I had it all figured out. And maybe even as I go through other stages in life, I may still look back and say, man, how foolish was I? Maybe this is only the beginning. I don't know. But I know now, man, the older I get, the more questions I have. It's like, you know, for some decisions I make, I only make them because I feel the Lord told me to make them. Some places I go, I'm only here in Virginia because I think that God told me to come back. And so here I am. I came back and doors swung open, so I know this is where I'm supposed to be. But it's like, I'm here calling myself following God, and all of my other friends and everybody else on whoever I see on social media are flourishing and they're having great jobs, and I'm still going through school, and they're getting married on their first kid, and I'm still single and waiting on God and all these things, and everybody's flourishing, and I'm following God, and I just haven't quite seen that type of fruit yet. I'm still almost what I consider in the wedding stages. Now, I don't want to make that sound like I'm ungrateful, because God has blessed me beyond measure. If I don't have another thing from today, God has given me more than enough. The fact that I have salvation, the fact that I have eternal life, is enough. And the fact that I have food to eat, I got clothes on my back, I have light, my lights are on, in this era of inflation, I've got more than enough. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm, you know, ungrateful, but it's just it's challenging to have these questions and to remember that it's worth it, you know, and to remember that it's worth it. There's actually there's a verse that I know every believer has heard, and it's one of my favorite verses of all time. This is the English Standard Version. It reads kind of different, but it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you met trials of various kinds, for you know that by the testing of your faith produce steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be complete, lacking nothing." Now, in another translation, that reads, "Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing." So it's, you know, I gotta remember to let patience have its perfect work, and really live that, and live my prayers. It's something that I've been practicing too, is living my prayers. It's so easy to pray and almost forget about it. You know, it's easy to pray, especially when you pray a lot. It's easy to pray and be like, all right, God, amen. But it's another thing to say amen and then walk that prayer out and live that prayer out. So living the fact that prayer, patience will have its perfect work, Also, there's another one that I love too. 1 John 3:7. 1 John is a I think it's a great book because he's attacking worldliness. He wants to bring Christians who have drifted. He wants to bring them back to the basics of our faith. That's the purpose of 1 John. So he makes a lot of black and white statements. There's not a whole lot of gray areas going on. He makes a whole lot of black and white. If you do this, then this is who you are. If you do that, then this is who you are. It's very black and white. And 1 John 3:7 is one of those statements when he says, whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous, talking about Jesus. And whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. And any time a word is repeated like that in the Bible, I have to go back and see what the significance is. But that word practice, man, it stuck out to me because righteousness is imputed to us when we accept Christ, right? It's not our own righteousness, but that which we receive from Christ. But there's also a righteousness that we can practice day in and day out. There's also a type of sin that we can practice, intentionally make a practice of. So if I can practice sin, the inverse of practice righteousness. So I can practice my heart's posture. Anything I practice, I'm going to get better at. So when I go through these questions and I have these trials in my life and I have these doubts like, man, God, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? Should I be here? Should I be there? Am I doing too much? Am I not doing enough? Or, you know, I have to practice staying in position, staying in posture, you know, making sure I'm practicing my heart, staying toward God, practicing pursuing the Lord and not pursuing, man, well, they've got that and they're happy, so why don't I go over there and try to see what that's about? Or he's read this book and he's pretty much found his style. Let me go find out what that book's all about. I'm going to practice pursuing God in my mind and my thoughts and in my heart when I walk and go about my day. I'm going to pursue the Lord. And so when I come across different challenges, and there are plenty, trust me, this just happens to be a season where I'm going through a lot of questions because I'm a growing young man. I got to practice keeping my heart toward God. And that's how I deal with them.
Amazing, Gabe. I'm glad that you shared that about positioning and posturing yourself and aligning your things with the things of God. Because especially, like you said, the distraction, you're seeing the things the world wants us to see and grow towards. But when you posture and you position yourself and say, God, I don't want anything but you, those things will come, not in our time, but in his time. And oftentimes we try to get in front of God and rush it. So I can for how you know your walk and you're just bringing up the fact of your posture and your positioning and just, you know, following God, following the things, his will, not your will, his ways and not your ways. So I commend you on that. So at this time, because I can go on and on, Gabe, I'm going to open it up for the callers. If they have any questions or comments at this time, you can do so now. I think I have everyone unmuted. Anyone have any questions or comments for Gabe at this time?
I do. I'm sorry. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, daughter, for having Gabe online tonight. I have just been basking and just listening to him talk. And, Gabe, I just want to say I thank you for being so transparent and telling us about your life's journey and your affirmations in God. I'm just grateful to witness how much you've grown and you've transformed your walk with God. I'm like, wow, this is Gabe. I love you. I've always loved your passion and your strength. And your faith in God is overwhelming, and I'm just so grateful that you know who you are to him and who God is to you. I still cherish, you know, our talks that we used to have a long time ago. It seems like it's been so long. But, you know, I was learning from you as you were growing, and I just thank God for you. So I just want to say, Gabe, keep soaring as you go higher and higher. And I know without a doubt that you are living your purpose, young man. And I am so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Linda. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. I thank God for you.
Sister Rosman, can I just interject something really quickly?
You sure can.
I just want to say to this young man that I can just hear your passion and your love for Christ, and I echo what Pastor Linda just said. God bless you. Stay on the wall. Keep doing what you're doing, because I can hear passion even as you speak. And God bless you, young man. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Gabe. Yes, Gabe, I have a question for you. You spoke about your childhood and your upbringing. I guess my question
sure.
for you is, since we're talking about our walk with God, what does forgiveness look like?
What does forgiveness look like?
Uh-huh.
Mercy. Forgiveness looks like mercy. Forgiveness looks like understanding that I have the picture in my head. I'm trying to pull my words together. If someone were to offend me, I know even on their best day, they're still broken and flawed and horrendous people. We are not as able as we think that we are for people. Even on our best day, myself included, everybody, we're going to let somebody down on our best day. And having an understanding of that nobody's perfect. Everybody's allowed to have a couple of bad days in their life. Everybody's allowed to have a couple of outbursts or have a couple of no-call, no-shows, if you will. So having an understanding of human nature, specifically having an understanding of the person that you're dealing with and their flaws and their weaknesses and their shortcomings, and not holding it personal when they have their own issues or when they say something to you that wasn't meant for you, not their fault always. It's not always their fault. And when you understand also that we commit the ultimate offense to God every single day, day in and day out, the ultimate offense to God, and we have forgiveness from God. Let me put this in perspective, right? In the beginning, the Lord gave us, when he created us, he said, let us make man in our image. And it's widely speculated that he was talking to his son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit. They were the three, the triune being, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, existed before anything else in creation did. And taking the gospel entails God sending his son to die on the cross for us. He did not spare his own son for us. Not only that, but when Jesus left us, he sent back his Holy Spirit. God gave us everything he's ever known, that we would have a chance at eternity, knowing that half of humanity wouldn't even accept him. So if we can be forgiven for offense, we really don't deserve to be. We really do not deserve to be forgiven. Because even after I repented, I mess up every day. Forgive me for the ultimate offense after he's given me everything he's ever known. Give somebody else for saying some words to me or for texting me the wrong things or not texting back or whatever else. Because anything else pales in comparison to sending your son to die for everyone else's sin.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments for Gabe?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So, Gabe, I nicknamed Gabe the professor a long time ago, and to me, he's living up to that title. I am so proud of you. I'm proud of the man that you are. I'm proud of the man of God that you have become. You inspire me to go higher.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You inspire me to go higher, and it doesn't age is nothing. Age is nothing, because even the other day when we were at church and I was sitting by Pastor Linda and we were talking, and even the twin baby, 4-year-old, raised his hand up, thank God. That just went all through me. Mm-hmm. But you are amazing to me. And I'm sitting here listening to you tell your story and stuff and trying to keep the tears from flowing in my eyes and some, but you are. I love you. Of course I love you Love you, love. Not all y'all. But, yeah, you are amazing to me. And you just keep up the good work. Because God's got something, I don't know what it is, but he's got something so special for you that even your eyes are not going to believe it. One day you're going to wake up and it's one day you're going to wake up and it's going to be like boom right there. And it ain't going to be nobody but God.
Amen. I receive it.
Yes.
I receive it. Love you, Angel.
I love you too, Gabe. That's all.
I have a comment. Hello.
Sure.
Brother Gabe, I just want to encourage you on today. I was sitting here listening, and you gave your age and ages and age, but you're speaking so profound, and you're speaking with such wisdom that you. I just pray that God that you allow God to continue to use you in the capacity that he's using you. You've been throwing some pretty tough questions. You started off with your testimony, and you was throwing some pretty tough questions, but you persevered through them, and you gave some very conclusive answers to the questions that came to you. You know, now listen to you talk through your testimony, and I know that hearing you speak through that is still fresh in your heart and in your mind, and just allow God to continue to work with you through those things and continue to love the woman that raised you as her own. You know, you show them so much wisdom in your speaking on today. I just want to applaud you on today and just thank you for everything that you said.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I really do.
I have a couple more questions. That's okay?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Gabe, obviously, you're in school and you've got a lot of things going on right now. How difficult, if you run into these problems, how difficult is it, a challenge with family and friends not necessarily understanding your walk with God right now? Has that been a challenge? If so, can you tell us how you're getting through that?
Yeah. That's absolutely been a challenge. Man, I battle with, you know, honestly, it really goes down, for me personally, it kind of goes down to an identity battle because, man, who am I and who am I becoming are two pretty dominant questions. Who am I supposed to be? Who should I be? Who do they want me to be? And do those things blend? Man, so it's tough, and it's always been a pretty tough battle. And, you know, living my life the way that I do, it's not always the coolest looking thing. It's not always the most glamorous thing. Sometimes it yields its fruit socially. Other times it's like I gotta be an outcast, and I have to stand on that. You know, I gotta stand on that. So, man, so obviously it's been a challenge. Absolutely, it's made me question my identity and who I want to be, who I need to be, who I'm heading to be, who am I practicing to be, who am I becoming. But I've certainly. Man, one thing's for sure. I've certainly found my identity in Jesus, man. There's never, you know, because when I was young as a teenager, the core of who I was confused. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know who. All I knew was who I thought that I should be. I didn't know who I actually was, nor did I really care. I thought that what I should have been was what I saw around me, and that's all I wanted. But it wasn't until I met Jesus, man, that he showed me who I was and what's in me. And I realized right away that I didn't want to be anybody else but me. And there's such a life, man. Jesus talks a lot about eternal life. And I learned a really good nugget, man. I learned a nugget that eternal life is not linear. Like it's not a quantity of life. It's a quality of life in such a way that it doesn't start when you die. The moment you accept Christ, you now have eternal life. Jesus will give you eternal life. And to live this life this way that I'm living it, it's to have life in my bones and in my body. It's not quite something that everyone's going to understand, but I don't expect them to. And it wouldn't be fair of me to, I don't think, in a lot of ways. So the way that I deal with it is I give them grace. I try to explain it the best I can. And I try to gauge the necessary distances at different times, because sometimes I need to be closer than others. Sometimes I need to be far away while I go through whatever I'm going through in my life. And so I try to do it with grace, and I try to do it with clarity and assurance, because the first thing that I gained when I gave my life to Christ was an identity, a direction. I'm going, this is who I am, and this is where I'm going. And as long as I can remember, if I can remember that, then I'll always be okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, Gabe. Does anyone have any other questions or comments for Gabe?
I do. I'm sorry. I talk a lot. But I do want to say this. Since I've known Gabe from then until now, one thing's certain. He was kind of on the shy end when I first met him, but definitely now this is who he is. I think he's found the Gabe that he's supposed to be, and he found that in Christ. And I'm just so proud of him for that.
Amen.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Wow. You can't see me, but I'm smiling from ear to ear right now.
you even know this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Any questions or comments before we close out tonight?
I just have one more thing I want to say. Gabe, okay. I am so grateful that your Aunt Carolyn drug you to church, dragged you to church. And I just want to tell you that, you know, when you find your wife, you are going to do the same with your children. Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I am so grateful and thankful that she dragged you to World Changing. And
yeah,
also, I can't leave June out because she dragged your siblings.
Yeah.
So I just need to know that. I'm so proud of you. And you are going to find your wife, and you will have some children, and you're going to drag them along with you.
Amen. I receive it.
That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Gabe, did you have anything else you wanted to share with us tonight on this topic of giving God your entire life?
Yeah. Man, well, first, man, I really appreciate it because I really understand that you have to be protective of your platform, especially one that God gave you and that God is directing. You can't just let anybody on. So the fact that you let me on is an honor, and I really appreciate it. I really do. God is the ultimate source. Yes. There is none before and there is none after. And there is no counterfeit. The funny thing about counterfeits is that they work for a little while. One of my favorite movies is called Catch Me If You Can. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. It's Leonardo DiCaprio is the main character, and he's forging these bank checks, these fake checks. And he like scribbles out the routing number, and he rewrites it so that by the time the banks find out the check is bounced, he's been gone for months. You know, he's been gone from the state for months. And so counterfeits work for a little bit, but they always are found out in the end. There is no counterfeit for salvation. There's a counterfeit for God. So he is truly the one way, the way, the truth, and the life. So trust and believe.
Amen.
Am I on?
Thank you
here?
For sharing it. Yes, we can hear
Am
you.
I on?
Yes.
This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
I am so, so, so proud of Gabriel. God has brought him a long way. And I just thank God for him. I'd go back and do it all over again. I just love my nephew like a son, just like he said. And I brought him up just like I did a son. And when we went to church, we enjoyed it. I didn't have no problem with him going. He was always up and ready. Come on there, Carolyn, you ready to go? Okay, Gabe, hold on. I'll be ready in a minute. You know, he was always ready. You know, all children wasn't like that. You know, they going to hide their shoe or something to where that they think they have to go. Gabe was good, I'm telling you. And God's brought him a long way, and I'm so proud of him. And I just listened to him speak today, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I just, you know, words can't say enough,
right,
you know, for my nephew. And you continue to do what you're doing because you're on the right path. And I love you, and I'll see you Tuesday.
Love you too, Aunt Carolyn. I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments?
This is Nay. I just wanted to tell Gabe that I am so very proud of him, just like everybody else has said. Just to see him walking, his strong walk with God has just blessed me. Remember seeing him at World Changing and seeing where he is today. And I know that this walk can be a lonely place sometimes, but I just want to encourage you to just keep your hands in God's hand. And I am so excited to see where he is going to take you. I'm just so very proud of you. I just want to encourage you to just keep standing firm in your walk. Keep your faith and just keep going with God, and he'll never leave you wrong. I'm just proud of you.
Yes,
so proud of you, Gabe.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? And I'm going to wrap things up tonight. Gabe, before we close out, do you have any upcoming events, any social media sites that you want someone to follow you, someone want to contact you after we get off tonight? You want to share that with the callers? There will be people that will go back and listen to this afterwards, so they want to get in contact with you, ask questions, network with you. Is there anything that you would like to share?
Yes. I have a Instagram page. I have my personal Instagram page. It's _ Gabe Jackson, GabeJacksoN. And then I have my ministry page, which is called Fearless the Lifestyle. That's all one word, Fearless the Lifestyle. It's a blue cross with a broken chain around it. So you can follow me there, or obviously on my Facebook page. This is Gabriel Jackson on my Facebook page. So come follow me, get in contact with me, book me for speaking events. You know, I'm available.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Dave, for sharing that. Amen. Yes. So I would like to just put it out there. Gabe, you are welcome to come onto this platform anytime. I would also like to open it up to you if you would like to also host your own podcast, your own ministry under the Detour Radio Show. Please feel free. This is what this is about. It's one house on many mansions, a safe house for us, a kingdom, and back come together to share
our stories,
to share Jesus. So I would send that to you. Pray about it. Think about it. Let's network. Let's talk about it. But I just want to tell you, I am also very proud of you. I have been following you every time I see that you on social media and you have something to say. I'm clicking on there because I want to hear what you got to say, because I know it's going to be like dynamite. You are so, so amazing. A young man on fire for God. And I appreciate you. I thank you for your yes when I reached out to you. Whenever we talk, it's like we try to catch up. And, I mean, you always like, yes. Anytime I call you, ask you, it's like, yes. So I thank you. Thank you so much for your continue doing what you're doing. People are watching you. Like I said, you just have that kindred spirit that just gravitate towards you when I hear your voice and just hear you just minister. You just do something to me. So just continue doing what you're doing.
I will. Man, these compliments
right.
That mean the world to me, man. I really wish I understood how much these meant to me.
Amen. So, again, thank you again, Gabe. Thank you, Pastor Ware, for your yes and leading us in prayer tonight. Thank you for all the callers
that was able to get on tonight. I do appreciate you. If anyone would like to be a special guest on the Detour Radio Show, please get in contact with me. My email address is whatisyourdetour@gmail.com, or you can contact me at 972-292-8544. Thank you again. God bless you. Continue to enjoy your restful, peaceful evening. And we will see you again in 2 weeks on the Detour Radio Show. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Bye. Bye. Good night. Good night.